Welcome to another episode of 35 West. I'm Richard Miles, the Deputy Director of the Americas Program at CSIS. And today the topic is Argentina. And I have as my guest today Michael Matera, who is the Director of the Americas Program, also a longtime experience in Argentina. So Michael, why don't you tell us a little bit about sort of how you got here? Obviously, we met in Argentina a long time ago, it seems. I was on my way into the embassy. You were on your way out, but you've got extensive experience in the country and around the world. So give us a little snapshot of your career.
Sure. I spent about 25 years in the Foreign Service. We met, as you recall, in 2004 when I was heading back to Washington and you were just arriving in Buenos Aires. I was in the Foreign Service until about 2007 when I retired. Pursued some work as a consultant, first in Argentina, then back in Washington. And about a year and a half ago, I was invited to take over the Americas program here at CSIS, and I've been at that since then.
And fun fact, you are also a longtime, or were, Sovietologist as well, so extensive experience in former Soviet Union and...
Yes, no, I studied Soviet affairs at Johns Hopkins, at SAIS. Did Russian language studies, but that focus took me to Uzbekistan about 25 years ago, where I met my Argentine wife, and it was that chance encounter with Latin America that helped to turn my career away from Soviet and post-Soviet affairs to Latin American affairs 25 years ago.
So a couple of weeks ago, on October 22nd, Argentina had pretty significant midterm elections, which were widely seen as a big win for Mauricio Macri. It reminds me of that kind of great Saturday Night Live skit from late 70s, you know, where the customers go in and they're asking for various sandwiches, and the answer is always cheeseburger, cheeseburger, cheeseburger. And it seems like for a long time, Argentine voters, no matter what the request, it's always peronism, peronism, peronism. But now things are changing, and Macri is sort of a symbol of that change. So tell us, give us a few details on what happened a couple of weeks ago, and more broadly, what is happening in Argentine politics with Macri's election and this obvious strengthening of his party.
Well, this election, as you say, was the midterm election. Half of the seats in the lower house of the parliament were up for election, and a third of the seats in the Senate. This election is generally seen as a referendum on the first 2 years of any president in office. And in this case, this very much was seen as a referendum on Macri's first 2 years. For a president who at the beginning was seen as a president who might well not even serve out his full term, the fact that he did as well as he did in these midterm elections is very significant. He came out with the largest number of votes, his party and the coalition that he leads, his party PRO, and his coalition Cambiemos, which means let's change. They came out in this election victorious in 13 of the 23 provinces. Most significantly, they won the five largest provinces in the country, which are Buenos Aires province, Buenos Aires city, Córdoba, Santa Fe, and Mendoza. He increased his number of seats in the lower house from up to 107 of 257. He increased the number of votes, votes in the Senate to 24. 24 of 72 seats, and he emerged very much stronger than he was before these elections, and stronger than even he anticipated. This was really not expected. The primary elections that took place in August indicated that he was probably going to do relatively well, but not as well as he ultimately did. This really is a change in that Macri's party is not one of the two traditional parties, the Peronist Party and the Radical Party. It is a coalition. It is a new party itself in coalition with a number of other smaller parties, including the Radical Party. And what he has done is for the first time ever, a new party of this sort has emerged very, very strong in an election of this sort.
Just following up on that, I mean, it's always probably a mistake in Argentine politics to count the Peronists out. And of course, Cristina Kirchner is sort of now calling herself the leader of the opposition and retained a seat. Is this the end for her, though? I mean, this is a pretty devastating loss for her and her faction. Do you see a scenario in which she hangs on, or she is this really her swan song?
Well, she ran for the Senate in the province of Buenos Aires and came in second, which means that her party, by the electoral laws of Argentina, won one seat as opposed to the party of President Macri that under the candidate Esteban Bullrich, the former education minister, won two seats. The fact that she came in after Macri's coalition 4 points behind is seen as a defeat. It's certainly not a devastating defeat. But it's certainly going to be difficult for her to reemerge as the leader of the opposition. That said, many of the other Peronist leaders who've been talked of as presidential candidates for 2 years from now in 2019 saw their candidates defeated. Juan Manuel Urtubey in Salta, De La Sota and Schiaretti in Córdoba, Sergio Massa in the province of Buenos Aires all saw their candidates defeated, which means that these Peronist leaders who were seen themselves as potential presidential candidates in 2019 will have a much more difficult time of projecting themselves over these next 2 years and establishing leadership of the party. Cristina Kirchner claims to be the strongest leader in the Peronist party at this point, but the truth is that traditional Peronists don't see her as a Peronist, and it's very unlikely that she's going to be able to unite the party behind her candidacy for president. Another very significant fact is that Cristina Kirchner is facing a large number of legal cases against her. A number of political analysts over the weeks leading up to the election were saying that Cristina Kirchner was closer to prison than she was to the Senate, to mean that she is quite close to being detained and put into prison pending a trial. It's unclear how these investigations are ultimately going to come out, but what is clear is that at least several of them are likely to have her end up on trial. There was a lot of speculation that she was looking for a seat in the Senate in order to enjoy the immunities that come along with public office. Something happened last week that makes that less likely a scenario. Last Wednesday, the former infrastructure minister of Argentina under Cristina Kirchner, Julio De Vido, the super minister, the super economics minister of both Cristina and Néstor Kirchner, so someone who was in power as minister for 12 years, was detained as a result of a corruption trial, a corruption charge that he's being investigated on. The fact that his immunities were lifted in this case mean that the same could happen with Cristina. Not clear that is going to happen, not clear how quickly it could happen. It's likely that she will take over her seat in the Senate, will become a spokesperson of sorts for the real opposition to Macri and to his policies. But my sense is that her time has passed. It's very unlikely that she's going to emerge as a leader or a competitive candidate for the presidency 2 years.
Yeah, it's sort of hard, given her, you know, former first lady status and then running for president, winning president, being a polarizing figure, it's hard not to compare her to Hillary Clinton here, where sort of probably the strongest and most single recognizable figure in the party, but yet damaged goods. Where, as you say, it looks like folks are trying to walk away from her, but yet she retains influence. As far as Macri, his position now, he's got a strong – he doesn't have a majority, but he's much stronger. What can he do now in terms of policy or legislative wise that he couldn't do before, given these new seats or additional seats in the both chambers?
Well, as he did during the first 2 years, in order to pass legislation, he needed to put together a coalition even broader than the one that he formally heads. He needed to negotiate with some of the traditional Peronists. He needed to negotiate with some of the regional parties. And he was successfully able to do that on quite a number of pieces of legislation. The difference now is that he has a perspective of 6 years looking ahead. This means that it's quite likely that he will win re-election in 2019. A candidate who comes out as strongly as he does in the midterm elections has a much better chance of emerging victorious in the presidential elections. And the assumption now is that he has 6 years to pursue his agenda. The question is, what is that agenda going to be? As a matter of fact, today, in a couple of hours, the 30th of October, Mauricio Macri will be giving an address to a gathered group of leaders from both the legislative, judicial, and executive and the business sector. And he's going to be laying out his legislative agenda for the next 2 years. No one knows exactly what that agenda is going to be as it's announced today, but the expectation is that it's going to include serious tax reform, deregulation, labor reform, which the country desperately needs, some trade liberalization, judicial reform, and electoral reform. This is going to be a very symbolic presentation today. A lot of expectation, is going into what he's going to lay out. And it's likely that he's going to call for solidarity of all of the parties, his own coalition and the opposition, behind this legislative agenda. Not clear that he's going to be successful. These are a lot of very controversial reforms, ones that have been very difficult to push through in past years, but ones that most people recognize that Argentina needs in order to be competitive in the region and to get with the globalized agenda.
Now, I imagine that the response to these midterms by the business community and the international investors is probably very good. I mean, Argentina was already making, under Macri, some very significant moves back towards sort of a business-friendly climate. What has been the reaction in the last 10 days or so for investors in the business community in Argentina?
Most investors, both domestic and foreign, are optimistic, are very pleased that the election came out in the way that it did. We've seen over these past 2 years that the flood of investment that President Macri was expecting did not materialize. I still believe that you're not going to have a huge increase in investment anytime soon. I think investors are still looking to see that Macri is going to be able to push through reforms that are critical, in particular tax reform and labor reform. These are two that are just fundamental. That said, investors are pleased that the election came out the way it did. The fact that Macri now has a 6-year time horizon and not a 2-year time horizon gives them hope that he will have the time and now the greater strength to be able to push through these reforms. It's a positive day in Argentina after these elections, but there's still a lot of hard work to do. And in fact, I think the real hard work really is just beginning now. The question is how much political capital is the president going to have to be able to really push through these reforms?
If we look at outside of Argentina in terms of foreign policy, as you know, Cristina Kirchner and the Kirchners and before her husband before her were decidedly sort of left of center, definitely left of center when it came to foreign policy, very sympathetic to Castro's Cuba, to Chavez's Venezuela, to Evo Morales in Bolivia, which was a contrast from the previous governments, which were more or less sort of pro-U.S. and pro-international consensus. Does any of that change? Have we already seen a shifting back towards more the international consensus, or at least kind of the Western consensus in terms of things like Venezuela or Cuba, or more broadly human rights, democratic institutions, et cetera, in the region? Is that changing?
I think you've seen that shift already, and that you've witnessed over these last 2 years. Macri very, very quickly after winning the election, and in fact even before his inauguration, signaled that Argentina's international approach would be very different than that of the Kirchners on Venezuela in particular, on reintegration into the world global financial markets. I don't think that this election is going to make a big difference. I think the main difference in Argentina's approach to the rest of the world has already been made very clear over these first 2 years. And I think what Argentina needs to do at this point is to really focus on its own internal issues, these reform issues that we've been talking about. That's where the effort really needs to be made at this point, and that's where a difference is going to be made in bringing about what is truly a cultural difference. I mean, it's a cultural and a generational difference that I think Macri is pursuing. That is really his intention. He recognizes that the way Argentina has functioned in the past, very much crony capitalism and corruption, is not the way the country is ever going to be able to be competitive. And this kind of cultural generational change is what Argentina needs in order to turn itself into what some people call a normal country.
Right. One final question, Michael, and this really has nothing to do with the elections last week, but what do we know, if anything, about Macri's relations with the Trump administration? Have there been high level meetings, or is there any sort of dialogue on any subject going on right now?
Yeah, as two former business people, a lot of people at the very beginning of the Trump administration speculated that the relationship was going to be a close one, and in fact, the couple of times that they've gotten together, they've hit it off by what most people have described of the meetings. On the 27th of April, President Macri was in Washington for a meeting at the Oval Office with President Trump. By all reports, the meeting went very well. There seems to be relatively good chemistry between the two. At this point, there's not a lot of issues that the two countries are dealing with together. Argentina, given the fact that it has a trade deficit with the United States, believed that the trade issues were not going to be controversial ones with the United States, as they have become very clearly with Mexico and with Canada. That said, some complex trade issues have been brought up by the U.S. administration that have left the Argentine government wondering why it is being targeted on certain exports to the United States, one, biodiesel. I don't want to get into details of that sort at this point, but I think you can say that in general the relationship is a relatively comfortable one, but there has not been a lot of dealing between the two countries since the meetings in April. There's a perception that President Trump has been very distracted by other issues, North Korea, Mexico, and by his own domestic political challenges. And he's not been paying too much attention to Argentina or to any other country in South America, at least.
If I remember correctly, Macri, or at least his father, makes a cameo appearance in The Art of the Deal, because I think Macri's father owned a piece of real estate in Manhattan that this is years ago that Trump eventually bought and something like that. But anyway, he's in there.
They tried to close a business deal back 25 years ago, and this was Macri's father and Macri together. And in fact, Macri met Donald Trump at that time in New York.
Right, that's right.
And they talked about that in their meeting in April. They remembered that, but I don't think the deal was ever closed. From what I know of the deal, they did have this initial contact more than 25 years ago.
Michael, thank you very much for joining me this morning, and that brings to end this episode of 35 West. Join us next week, find out where we are in the hemisphere.